Surprise, surprise.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2 RDJ, the voice of the... Surprise! The voice of the Inner West. That was a really bad clip. I couldn't even understand what he was saying. Did you?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
How did you know what he was saying?
It's a North Carolina accent.
Yeah, we're in Australia. How many people in Australia do you think are going to get the difference between a North Carolina accent? I mean, a Texan accent's pretty easy to get, but a North Carolina specific.
That's Jim Nabors, one of the world's greatest singers.
Yeah, I've never heard of him.
No, you haven't.
No.
He played a character called Gomer Pyle, and anybody who's around about my age will remember the Gomer Pyle TV series.
And anybody who's around your age will probably know that this is the Gadget Grill. We explain things from my generation to your generation.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
How could I not remember that?
How could you not remember that?
Well, that's easy when you get to my age.
You didn't remember the flower today, okay? So, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Welcome to the
Gadget. Well, I was going to buy you some flowers, but I forgot.
Oh, and the jokes just start now. Oh.
Do you want me to play something by Tom Petty from
No, Rockers? No. Welcome to the Gadget Grill, the only show about technology where a father and son could possibly work together without throwing each other out of the window. It's a good thing these windows are boarded up.
It is indeed.
Yeah.
My name is Gary Stark. I'm the producer of the Gadget Grill, and sitting on the other side of the desk from me is my son, Lee Stark, who is, in actual fact, the owner and presenter of this show. Good evening, young Mr. Stark.
I'm just not even sure if it's evening now. It's like it's 8 o'clock, but not really 9. I'm just stumped by this.
Yeah, it's actually 8 minutes after 9. We have daylight saved. Did you save some daylight today?
I must admit, I spent all my daylight this year. I was trying to buy a new truck.
Right.
And they wouldn't take the daylight. Oh, they said they could take five or ten G, so I cut out G's in the paper, okay. And they wouldn't take those either.
I actually got an hour of daylight. I stuffed it into a little plastic container. I've got it in the fridge. I'm keeping it for later on in the year.
I think next time...
I might be able to use it at Christmas.
That's a good idea. I think next time we should take the daylight, go to Scotland with it and spread some there. Or maybe we can use it as some sort of a stuffing.
Well,
what
we should do is get not just daylight, but some sunshine, and we should take it to London. That way we could justify a trip to London.
Absolutely. And we have to tell everybody, this is the grand final... Gadget Grill.
It is absolutely the final Gadget Grill. It is the grand final episode, meaning that...
I don't know. What does that mean?
We got a memo about this.
What does it mean?
Yeah. We got a memo, and I did
memo.
A memo.
You're finding memo. You look for a piece of
finding.
You look for a notepad with clownfish. Finding memo.
Finding memo. Yes, we got a memo, and I did exactly
I thought it was
what
memo.
Whatever.
Because memo sounds like a Pixar movie.
Well, yeah. We got fined because of the memo.
Okay, right.
And
that was really bad.
I know.
It gets worse from here, people.
Yes, I know. I did exactly what one should do with all of these memos.
You shred it?
I just crumpled it up through.
So what does it mean if it's the grand final show? Because that's what we got on the memo. Not the memo, the memo.
Okay. Well, that means that somewhere in Sydney there was something about some football game or something like that where people got kicked around. And
in Australia, what?
Yeah,
sports?
Yes,
sport?
Yes,
in Australia?
Yes,
no.
Yes,
no.
Yes. Something about pigskin and lots of people wearing blue and gold and purple.
No,
and
surely
all
not.
Sorts
in Australia,
of
we don't care that much about sport.
Well, no, of course not. You know, it's only the lead item, the 3rd, the 7th, the 23rd. And
you know
the,
what? Just shut up. We should probably get into an actual show. What are we talking about tonight? This is your show.
What are we talking about? I've got no idea.
I think we're talking to someone tonight.
We're talking to Adam Steinberg.
Who's he?
He is one of the senior managers in Elgato in San Francisco.
Wait. Who the hell are Elgato? They sound like a music company.
They are not a music company. They are the people who manufacture the ITV systems for your computer. EYETV.
They're the TV cards that a lot of Mac users use.
Well, that's right. They make them for the Apple computer system. They make quite a good product, and I had an incident a couple of weeks ago.
You should probably get that checked out with a doctor, to be honest.
That's why I ended up speaking with Adam, in fact.
You didn't have to wear nappies as a result of it, did you?
They don't call them nappies at my age.
Okay. Incontinence pads, but go on.
Yeah, so the other week I had a bit of a chat with Adam Steinberg on intellectual property issues.
Ooh, that sounds like it could be fun. We've also got a whole bunch of news and stuff, and we've got some gadgets in in the Gadget Grill, which sort of makes sense.
The Gadget Grill looks like it's been invaded by monsters from over.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. It's fitting that 50 years ago today, well, 50 years ago, actually, a couple of days ago, on October 2nd, the Twilight Zone started. So it's kind of fitting that our place looks a little bit like the Twilight Zone, to be honest.
Well, it normally does.
It normally does anyway. Yeah. Well, it normally sounds like it's not. It also looks like it. We're going to get into some music to start with. This is fairly new. This is something I found called the Portland Cello Project. Yes, that does mean there could essentially be some cellos in there.
Cellos?
Yeah. Oh. And this is Beat, Health, Life, and Fire.
Breakfast with a Difference, tune into Ian and Dee Dee's Breakfast Chill on 2RDJ every Monday from 7am to 9am, broadcasting live right after the BBC World Service.
Listen to a beautiful blend of New Age, meditation and reflection, as well as news talk, health and well-being, entertainment and some fun and games.
As a mix of music from hot to chilled, contemporary to classic.
Tune in and chill out every Monday from 7 to 9am, 2RDJ, 88.1 FM.
We'll put you in the mood.
Submitted for your approval for the Midnight Society, you're listening to The Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2 RDJ, the voice of the inner, outer, and inner west, because it's the Twilight
inner,
Zone.
That's
how it works in the Twilight Zone. It's all mixed up and topsy-turvy. And if you'd like to find us on the web, you can listen to us on 88.1 the radio station, but the web, this amazing internet device thingy that people are talking all about, it's even talking about it on the Twilight Zone, is at www.radio2rdj.com, where you can listen to us in surround sound, provided you've got headphones plugged in.
Yes.
Otherwise, you can hit us up at www.gadgetgrill.
Is this coming to you from the right-hand side?
I don't even know. Everything's monitored from my jack over here. If you'd like to head to our website,
hi,
find
Jack.
Anything we're talking about, you can, well, most things we're talking, some of the, a couple of the things we talk about, you can head to www.gadgetgrill.com.au, where someone will eventually update the site.
And we've got some news right now.
We do. You
and
can start.
I have. I'm going to start with a new device in American stores called an Eco ATM.
I'm sorry, a what?
You put your old mobile phone into this machine, it identifies it, checks it for signs of wear, you get a quote which is redeemable in store credit, or if it's not worth anything, you can have it safely recycled, and they'll plant a tree for you as well.
Wow.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
It's apparently the first one's been installed in a furniture store in Omaha. Don't ask me.
In Nebraska, really?
Yes.
But okay,
this
sure.
Is the sort of this is the sort of thing they should be installing in Best Buys, I think.
Show me this. Eco ATM. Wow. Okay.
It looks like it's a joke thing to me, just looking at the way it's done.
Yeah, it looks like it's from that TV show Chuck, to be honest.
That's right. That's
weird.
Right.
Well, speaking of strange inventions, have you heard about this gyro wheel?
No.
Okay, well, you know how when you get training wheels for your kids?
Yes.
Training, you know, it was
Lee's got training wheels on his microphone, listener.
Okay, I meant training wheels on your bikes, on your kids' bikes, okay?
Okay.
Training wheels on your kids is a little bit different.
Yes.
Yeah, if you get training wheels for your kids' bike, okay.
Yes.
That might make them feel a bit bad because they've got to go get a different sort of bike to everyone else's. It looks like they've got training wheels. Well, there's this new type of wheel called the gyro wheel, and it replaces your standard front tire, and it's powered by a rechargeable battery, and the idea is that...
if it's a gyro wheel, it shouldn't need a bloody battery.
Well, it needs to be
stabilized. It's self-powered.
It's electric. The idea is that...
It's not a gyro wheel if it's electric.
Look.
Go on to the next story.
Okay, fine.
Next story. Okay, update.
It's a gyro wheel. Google it.
I've got...
I have been knocked down on my own show. Get me some training wheels for news.
Donald Goodrich.
Who?
Donald Goodrich.
He needs a training wheel. Get him a training wheel now.
He does. He needs training wheels for his gun.
What? The training ammunition.
He visited an Apple store in Cincinnati, Ohio. brought his iPhone to the Genius Bar.
That's not really filled with geniuses.
And he said that there was a problem with the iPhone.
There is. It's an iPhone.
Yes. And then he said...
It doesn't have a gyro wheel on it.
Then he said, okay. I'm so mad I could pop a 9mm at my phone.
Oh, that's not very cool to
say. I'll do it right now.
That's really not cool to say.
And he lifted up his shirt and pulled out his handgun.
Wow.
The Genius Bar staff called the police and he was arrested and charged with aggravated menacing. He has a license for carrying a concealed weapon. But like, you know, sort of, take me to your leader or the iPhone gets it. No, that doesn't work.
I wouldn't mind the iPhone getting it. Speaking of Apple, Apple have a new patent application, which is for multi-touch. We, of course, see multi-touch on the iPhone.
Multi-touch.
I really wish you would speak in that way about multi-touch. I think it's actually illegal in some states for you to do that now.
Oh, I believe.
Did we get the stuff to come through that said you're not allowed to air this in Victoria?
That was in the memo.
Right, okay. The one that says we're on the grand final. Well, Apple have this new multi-touch patent that's going through, and apparently it includes things like the ability to pick up the palm specific. So, you know how in the movie Minority Report, how Tom Cruise moves his hands from left to right and uses that invisible sort of screen that appears like that?
Oh.
Yeah, sort of like that, where everything your hand, your fingers do, and you're... Look, you stop doing that, okay? That's really wrong. In case anyone's not aware, my dad is making very rude gestures towards the microphone, as if the microphone was a part of someone's body. That's disgusting, okay? That's really disgusting.
Where is Monica when you need her?
Not in this country, thank God.
Yes.
Well, Apple are working on this technology, and it's expected that maybe it'll be in the Apple tablet, but hey...
Who knows?
Yeah.
On the subject of Apple...
Well, there's so much Apple. Can't we have a non-Apple day?
Okay, well, this is actually an orange story.
Okay. Well, Apple, you mean the people who make the amplifiers?
That's... Yeah, no, no. Apparently, Apple have acquired a mapping company.
Oh, God, really? Does that mean Google Maps is about to take a jump in the iPhone?
That's the speculation. I've got one other interesting story two other interesting stories that I have here.
Okay. Are they Apple-related?
No.
Thank God.
How about... Headphones.
Headphones. We're wearing some right now.
How about a pair of headphones from Brooklyn's Woo Audio?
Woo Audio?
Yes. The system uses a two-chassis amplifier with EL34 vacuum tubes.
What does that mean?
Basically, we're talking about two Class A amplifiers to drive a pair of Stax Omega SR7 double.
What does that mean?
Mark
Can't II. You just break this down? That's what this show is for.
Two amplifiers weighing in at 40 pounds to drive your headphones.
What was so hard about saying that?
The headphones, the amplifiers cost $5,000 US.
Oh, ouch, okay.
And the headphones, $2,100.
Ooh, that's a lot of money. Well, I've got something for you. XP mode that a lot of people are looking for in Windows 7. If you've been wondering why you can't run the mentioned feature of Windows 7's virtual PC, sort of virtual XP operating system inside Windows 7. It's just not ready yet. It will be out on October 22nd. The catch will be that you will need your own copy of XP, which most people already knew about in the first place. You can't still buy copies of XP, can you?
Yes, you can.
Can you?
Yeah, if you look hard, you can.
Can you? What makes you wonder if you could run Vista on it? Would you really want to run Vista on the Windows 7 if you wanted to make your life worse?
There's one good thing that I can say about Vista.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to buy it.
That's wonderful.
Okay, how about network security on your networked printer?
Okay.
The older your printer hardware is, then the less likely it is to have some security functionality. And they're starting to build security functionality now into printers because your printers are just running operating systems and whatever the same as everything else on your network does.
Sure.
And people can actually hack into your network, get hold of your printer, and anything that you're printing off on your printer might be stored on a hard disk on the high-end office printers.
Mm-hmm.
And can be lifted off and stolen, into industrial espionage, that sort of thing.
Interesting. I don't think there's a lot I write that could be used industrial espionage. I think I've got one more story for you, and then we'll wrap it up.
I've got one more.
Right. Well, the LivePack is this new device that's going to be used by, well, hopefully a TV company. So if you're from a TV company, listen up. This is actually pretty cool. You know the satellite vans that go around from place to place? Channel 9, Channel 10, Channel 7, they all have them. Well, someone's worked out a way to put that in a backpack. What it is, it's basically a backpack loaded with...
A van.
Basically, yeah. An encoding hardware, a FireWire cable, a built-in wireless connection with six load-balanced 3G modems.
Cool. This is one heavy backpack.
And so it balances. In America, this is set up to balance
this
over,
is basically
over,
one
over
of those
three carriers, so nothing drops out. All you have to do is bring your own video camera.
This is basically one of those Navman trucks in a backpack.
Basically, yes. Or they were made for TV. It's supposed to broadcast essentially HD quality, so I guess 720p, but that's pretty good. It's got a rate of around $2,500 per month, but that's not bad for most TV stations.
Right.
Lose the car.
Yeah. Now, the last item that I've got, I'm going to have a serve at some of the PR people around the world.
Oh, no. Must you?
I'm not going to mention anybody.
Okay.
But I got a PR announcement on Friday, I think it was, describing a brand... Yes, Friday it was. Mm. Describing a brand new device that was released this week.
Okay.
And they described it. Now, we're talking about...
Did I get this PR release?
Yeah, I don't know if you did.
Okay.
But it's a mobile phone that was released this week.
I didn't get a mobile phone press release.
And it described the mobile phone as being slim...
Mm-hmm.
And approachable.
Approachable? Can I pick it up in a club?
Well, I wonder.
I walk up to it and go...
What a load of crap. What sort of people... You know, who writes that sort of rubbish?
Approachable.
An approachable mobile phone. Give me a bloody break.
Do I have to bring condoms?
Probably.
Do you think it's a dirty whore of a mobile phone? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not going to comment on it because I haven't had a chance to pick it up. And
you haven't had a chance to pick it up and
that's
take it
right.
out yet? You're looking for it to take a ride in your Mercedes.
Oh, yes.
You want to make sure to call on it, to use it a bit.
I want to use it and I want to abuse it.
Ew. Yes. Between that and the faces you were making at your microphone. Oh, stop. You're gross. Let's get into some music. What was the anniversary this week,
We've got two... We've got one birthday, and sadly, it's the anniversary of the death of one of my favourite ladies of blues, Miss Janis Joplin.
Oh, okay. This is Big Brother and the Holding Company with one of Dad's favourite songs.
Absolutely. Turtle Blues.
You've been working hard all morning and now it's time to relax for lunch. What better place than with your pals in the shed? And what better shed than the one right here on Tuesdays on 2RDJ between 1 and 3?
So please come and join Peter Worthington, that was him, and me, Gary Stark. We're your pals in the shed on 2RDJ FM 88.1.
And don't forget your lunch.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1. I started a bit earlier there on 88.1 Radio 2 RDJ, the voice of the Inner West.
Well,
you turned me... I'm not going to say that. I was going to say you turned me on early, but...
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the first time ever in his life that he has come early.
Wow. Oh, the show could not possibly get any more disturbing. So let's put it into a feature before we let it get that disturbing, shall we?
Yes, yes. On the subject of disturbing, a couple of weeks ago I was very disturbed when I went to fire up my TV card, my ITV card.
Watch TV. You should be writing or reading, sir.
The TV's just there as wallpaper frequently.
Fair enough.
And I went to fire up the ITV, my little ITV USB stick on my MacBook.
Mm-hmm.
And... I got a message saying that my license has been cancelled. It's been deactivated.
That's nice.
And seeing as how the only way, the best way to get a license, the only way that I know of to get a license, is to actually buy an ITV stick, which is what I have, an ITV device, a USB stick, and that I had the box sitting only a couple of feet away from me. I thought this was rather strange.
Long story short, what did you do?
Long story short, I sent off an email to the people, asked what was going on, and basically they said that they had deactivated the thing because certain serial numbers get used and reused and reused. That was not the case in mine. Digging a little bit deeper, we found that I had actually had a faulty one at one point over a year ago, returned it. And when that was returned, it was returned in the original box with the original serial code on it. And they just went through and deactivated all of the returned serial codes.
Fair enough.
Well, fair enough, but not fair enough because...
You already had yours installed.
You already have it installed and you're not going to normally reinstall the software and install a new license key when you just replace the hardware.
So tell us what you talked about with Mr.
Well, I eventually got in touch with Adam Steinberg, who's a senior manager at Elgato, and spoke to him about the problem, and he acknowledged that their procedures perhaps weren't as good as they could have been, and the way they handled it was perhaps less than it should have been. And you've got to give credit where credit's due, and when an organisation can say, yeah, we screwed up, and they fixed the problem, then that's what you want to hear, and you've got to acknowledge that. But I spoke to him about the greater issue of intellectual property and how to protect it. So let's have a listen to what Adam Steinberg from Elgato has to say.
Well, my name's Adam Steinberg, and I work for Elgato Systems as the Director of Product Line Management. And as such, I oversee our support and quality assurance operations and a few other things.
Right. Thank you, Adam. Good afternoon to you. I recently had an issue with my Elgato ITV on the Mac, and it related to the protection of intellectual property that you impose on the product. And I don't have any argument at all with the need to do that. And it raised in my mind the need to have a brief discussion on the matters of intellectual property as it applies to software, how people need to deal with it and why it's such an important issue, Adam. And I thought that considering the issue that I had, you would be a good person to speak with on that, Adam.
Okay, I'd be happy to.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about the problems that you, as a representative of a software developer, see in terms of intellectual property. And let's face it, taking software and not paying for it when it's proprietary software, that is just straight out theft.
Yes, it is. I mean, to a certain degree, there's, casual piracy, or, you know, people have a laptop and a Mac at home and, or another one in the living room and the one in the study. And there's nothing wrong in per se in using, you know, one license key that and for all those three installations. Where it does get to be a problem is when it gets magnified to the internet. There are all sorts of, you know, pirate bays and bulletin boards and whatnot, and it's gotten to the point where you can just type in, you know, ITV serial number or, you know, Adobe Photoshop serial number, whatever product you might want, and Google it, and chances are the top three hits are just what you need. And together with, bulletin boards also offering copies of the software for download, it really, why would anyone want to buy it at all? In fact, you know, one could make the argument that, you know, if you don't protect your software, it's kind of unfair to the customers that are actually paying to the software because they could feel cheated out of their money's worth, as it were.
Right, right. Well, you know, if people don't pay for the software, of course, then as a software developer, Elgato and, of course, everybody else would have a lot of problems paying the salaries of the people actually involved in the development and the support of the software. And that would mean that if you can't pay the salaries, then the software fails to be developed, fails to be supported, and we as the consumer don't get to see the software.
Correct, or you get, you know, you see that to a certain degree on Windows, and it's also coming to the Mac, where you have applications that are overly simple or just plain buggy, and, you know, people pick them up at the checkout counter at Fry's for $2 and don't expect too much of the software, and it just becomes a race to the bottom.
What sort of difficulties do you face in trying to manage software as it pertains to your user base, Adam?
Well, the difficulties are that, you know, you have to start up from the presumption that you can't prevent piracy 100%. I mean, it's just not possible, even theoretically. There's numerous ways of software protection systems. A really high-end software comes with a hardware dongle, and it involves a very cumbersome activation process. And, you know, you lose your software key, you have to call a customer service line and get a new hardware dongle, and so on and so on. That's certainly way out of line for some consumer-level software like we're offering.
Right.
there've been trends, I believe Adobe and some of our competitors have fairly involved online activation schemes that, you know, if the server happens to be down, well, you'll have to activate it some other time and get nag screens about it until you comply. We've really decided to not go that way. Our application is a standard, you know, launch it, enter a software key, and, you know, run the setup assistant, and you're good to go. But so what we take care in looking is that we track the spread of leaked serial numbers on the net and then block them
right
at time of installation.
Okay.
With various methods.
Okay, that sounds basically workable on the surface.
You know, the problem here is that what happens when somebody is unjustly blocked? There's numerous scenarios where that could happen. You know, as a whole, piracy is to give you an idea of the numbers. You know, before we actually started looking into the numbers of people who use our software illegitimately, you know, we were counting 2,000, 3,000 times of the instances of that key being used.
2,000 to 3,000 instances of the one software key being used.
Yes.
Ouch.
You know, that's a fair amount of money if we have an upgrade price of $40 US, and you multiply that's a couple of people's salaries.
That starts to add up.
Yeah. Well, what can we learn? We also had, I think, a few instances of miscommunication about this because, you know, certain people in our customer service department are very zealous and, you know, defend the fort at all costs and treat everyone who comes and asks for a replacement key as a, you know, a potential criminal. And that's, you know, an attitude problem that we need to obviously address. It's most people are honest. And yeah. Most people who write in are honest. It takes a special kind of software pirate to write in and demand a free key.
That's exactly, you would.
And even so, you know, it's more expedient to make people happy quickly than to argue with them whether they're entitled to something or not.
That's a very interesting point that you make there, Adam, because I know that I deal with a number of different organisations in my day-to-day life, as everybody does. And the number of organisations that will fight you and argue with you over a $10 or a $20 issue, and it's going to cost them $200 to have the discussion with you over that in terms of their customer service and support costs, just, you know, salary and overheads, for a very, very simple $20-$30 item. It's just absolutely ludicrous. How stupid are these people?
Yes, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's just poor training or poor thinking through of the whole customer experience. I mean, we pride ourselves on our support and of the quality of our technical staff, and we just need to make sure that our service staff have the same kind of professional and positive attitude toward our customers, and also are somewhat aware of the whole process and its intricacies of how keys are sold and distributed and returned and exchanged and replaced and deactivated. It's
right.
A fair amount of
right
training.
Okay, that's been very, very valuable, Adam, because I think it helps people understand what things are like from the other side of the fence. And especially from somebody who is out there and actually is affected and occasionally hurts by these sort of things. Also, the fact that you were good enough to come to the fore and say, hey, our procedures weren't quite up to scratch. We had a problem in the system that you've helped us identify, and we're going to deal with that in a proactive manner. It takes real courage and it takes somebody with integrity to be able to come forward and say that.
Well, thank you. It's always nice to get a compliment about one's integrity. And it's not, you know, I think it's just a plain matter of fairness, that's all.
Right. Well, Adam Steinberg from Elgato Systems, thank you very much for taking a few minutes out of your day to speak with us here on the Gadget Grill.
And thank you very much, Adam. Yes, some very, very interesting and important things they covered, Lee.
Yes, yes, some very important, interesting things covered. Can we get some music now?
Yeah, this... Yeah,
not to show impatience at all.
This is a gentleman who would have celebrated his birthday yesterday.
How old would he have been?
Oh, he'd be in his 60s, I guess.
Man, he'd still be playing music if he
would still be playing good music. Yeah. This is Leave My Girl Alone, and it is Mr. Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Who's a hell of a lot better than his brother Jimmy.
Now.
Radio 1.1, Radio 2 RDJ. This is the Gadget Guru of Lee, me, and Gary over there. Start.
Him?
Yeah.
Me.
Oh. And right now we're going to go into some reviews quickly because we've been playing with a couple of weird looking gadgets. They kind of look like spiders, don't they?
The studio is overrun with weird looking creatures. We have a couple of gorilla pods in here.
Wait, what's a gorilla pod for those people who don't know?
A gorilla pod is a flexible tripod style of device on which you can mount your camera.
Or your phone
or whatever. Now, up until now, I've not been impressed with the GorillaPod line of products. I'm going to be very honest. And I thought that they just simply weren't able to hold a real camera.
Oh, you've got a different definition of real camera than most people.
Yeah, yeah. That's all changed with the GorillaPod Focus, which is
huge.
It's about 12 inches long. It is very, very solid.
Oh, it's really hard to move. It's really...
I was actually surprised to see that it had a quarter inch as well as the 1/8 inch bushing.
Which means it can take a large camera, the sort that most people pay lots and lots and lots of money for.
And it feels solid enough that I would be comfortable using it on, for instance, our Bronica.
Yeah, I used it on your camera without telling you, with one of your favourite lenses, the 85, without telling you once again.
Shame on you.
I thought that it would just be a good test, and it survived. It didn't fall backwards, which is what I've had in the past, but you haven't got just that.
No,
You've also got a version of the GorillaPod, which has a
built-in torch
strapped to it. Yeah.
Built-in torch mounted on it, little Jamie.
Letting light shine on you and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. It's got a little light, and it's got the legs have got magnetic tips on them, and the idea of this is
that... We just found out they had magnetic tips when we were in the studio.
Yeah, and the idea is that you can use this on your car. Let's say you need to change a flat tire or something at night. You could carry
a Vespa?
This.
What if you happen to ride a Vespa? Can you use it to...
It'll be a good headlamp for a Vespa. It'll be a good headlamp
for a Vespa.
It'll be a good headlamp for an old 63 Beetle, in fact. It's got more output than that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Speaking of Beetles, no.
Yeah. But it's actually quite an impressive device as well. You know, sort of you could, with the magnetic thing, you could attach it to just sort of let it sit on your bodywork, unless you're driving a Lotus or something, which is fiberglass body panels.
An interesting fact. I was not aware of.
On a Morgan,
actually have some information in your head, and it's not just bullshit.
Yeah, if you did on a Morgan, it wouldn't stick either because the Morgan panels are made out of timber.
Oh, cool.
Okay, but in that case, you would bend the legs around so it would attach itself around the wheel arch, and you'd still be able to use it. So, some quite impressive products from Joby in the new GorillaPod products.
I didn't mean what I said before about bullshit. I know you've got lots of information in there. It's just most of it's not on
GorillaPods. Most of it's totally irrelevant, yes.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Okay, well, let's go on with some more music.
Is something coming?
It is indeed. Andre Previn.
This is actually based off the movie West Side Story.
Right.
Radio 1.1, Radio 2 RDJ, the voice of the Inner West, which sadly doesn't reach Liverpool or Bondi, but we still have people listening in.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. We've got quite a few. In fact, if you wanted to listen in, you can head to www.radio2rdj.com where you can listen into the remaining few minutes of the show.
That is right.
Do we know what we're talking about next week? We probably don't, do we?
No, we don't.
Well, I'm going to talk...
Actually, we do.
We do. We just don't tell anyone.
No, I've got it all worked out, and I'm going to tell you that next week we're going to talk about Approve Your Order.
Huh?
we're going to talk about approve your order.
What the hell does that mean?
I get so many emails that have that as the subject line, approve your order.
You're actually going to talk about this. Are you serious?
Yeah, of course not.
Okay. About to say, because I'm going to talk quickly about something. I'm just going to talk about how much I loved Beatles Rock Band, which just came out recently, and I just bought myself a copy, even though I probably shouldn't have. And you've been coming into my room to hear me watch or hear me play the Beatles.
Actually, I've been coming into your room to listen to the music.
Oh, fine. You haven't been coming in to play the game at all.
Oh, God, no.
It's actually a lot of fun. It
looks like you're enjoying yourself. The music is good music, of course, because there's a lot of good Beatles music.
And it's really cool because I'm learning about Beatles music I'd never heard before.
Absolutely.
I'm really blown away, but I wish I could get you to pick up the guitar or the fake guitar and play some fake Beatles music.
The trouble is that I know how to play a real guitar, and I think I'd have problems trying to play a fake guitar. I might as well play a bloody air guitar.
Well, this is like an air guitar, except you plug it into your Wii. Well, and you don't, because it's wireless.
Yeah, and it's about as light as air, and it's plastic. It looks like a Fender Strat.
Yeah, I know. I didn't buy the Gretsch or the Rickenbackers.
I'm quite happy with my Gibson, my Epiphone.
Your Epiphone, yeah.
And my Fender P bass, an original Fender 77.
You know what? You can just take your non-believerisms and just stop, okay? Non-believerisms, okay?
Well, there you go.
Yeah, non-believer. Well, next week we'll have a show of some sort with... It's Thelonious Monk's birthday next week.
It is indeed, Thelonious Monk's birthday, so we may even play some monk music.
I think we'll mostly play jazz, to be honest.
Actually, playing Thelonious Monk music is that each piece is going to take up the whole bloody show.
It's like Art Blakey, it's 9 minutes per track. No. I was going to play some New Trombone Shorty as well. And but his stuff is all 9 minutes per track, too. Problem with jazz, it's all brilliant and long.
Yeah. We might talk about these little puppies that we've got sitting
here. We've got things like the new Nikon S1000 PJ, which, being Nikon, sounds like a camera. It is, but it's got one extra bonus feature.
It's got a built-in projector, and it is a cool facility.
Yeah, we're playing with it in ways that you probably wouldn't expect. Not in dirty ways, not in horrible ways, not in the ways Dad's face was making earlier, but we're using it in cool ways. It's just a very cool idea. We'll tell you about the camera next week. It's not as good as you think. But the projector means it's just as a very cool idea. This is a very cool idea.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, anyway, we'll see you next week on the Gadget Grill. Do you want to end the show, Dad?
Okay, I will end the show. You have been listening to, or maybe you have just missed, the Gadget Grill, only on 2RDJFM
88.1. Well, that's not really true. It's also on our website at www.gadgetgrill.com.au.
On the radio, it's only on 2RDJFM 88.1.
Okay.
Because nobody else will have us.
Yeah, of course. But if someone else wants to have us, please tell us now.
Yes.
Maybe we'll get paid for it.
Yeah. On the internet, www.radio2rdj.com, and on the Gadget Grill website, thegadgetgrill.com. No, Gadget Grill.
Thanks, Dad.
www.gadgetgrill.com.au. We'll be back next Sunday night, 9 o'clock. All things being less than equal.
Unless it's daylight savings again, in which case we're back at 10 or 8, one of them.
Something like that.
We'll be back at 9 next week.
We'll see if we can save another hour between now and then.
For now, this is Dave Brubeck, or what's left of Dave Brubeck's, from one of his new mono releases. This is from his old mono release, because someone transcribed this for me. It's Blue Shadows in the Street.
I'm Gary Stark. That was Lee Stark. Yep. We'll see you next Sunday.
Have a good week, Australia.